I really do feel like the Lord is preparing us for the next season that we're moving into. I don't know whether you've spent time looking at what's on the internet regarding what's being said about the year that we're coming into. In fact, it is a new decade. In the back of your bulletin, I've put part of a prophetic word by Sean Bowles, and you can check the rest of it out on Facebook. But I've put a little bit up there for you. I created time to serve you. It is a resource for you. In it, I can reveal my love day upon day, moment upon moment. There are so many things that I've put inside you that will find placement and fulfillment this year. And he's talking from the point of view that we've already started into the new year on the Jewish calendar. So these things are already starting to come to pass. I'm going to give you back the time that you thought was stolen or wasted. That's a good place to say amen. And another comment he makes, which is not actually part of the prophecy, but it was this. Many have been in a wilderness, and he's talked about the hard times that people have been through. And we addressed that last week, that for many of us, life has been far more difficult than we ever thought it would be. And God's been wanting to deal with the offense of that. When you are about to enter breakthrough, often God has to restore your passion for life. And I believe at the moment that God's doing some spring cleaning. He's dealing with some things in our life and in our heart so that we can enter into the next season that he has for us. So with that theme in mind is basically what I've been speaking about over the last couple of weeks. Today's the last one, so I want to close it up. And we're going to look at Luke 4, 16 and 17. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that's where he stopped. Jesus stopped halfway through a sentence. He was quoting from Isaiah, but he didn't finish what was written in Isaiah. So what was it that he missed out? And the day of vengeance of our God. Jesus did not state that. And I believe that there are some reasons, and I want to look at two of them this morning. The first one is that Jesus knew the season that he was in. He was born to bring salvation. He was born to reveal the Father. He was born to be the very provision of our acceptance. So when Jesus came and said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, he was saying, "This is me. This is who I am." My challenge to you this morning is, do you know your season? And do you know who you are? Or will you let others define you? It says that of the sons of Issachar, they knew the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. See, what we are meant to be doing is according to the season that we are in. Different seasons have different things that we are meant to do. In fact, Proverbs says that a son who sleeps in harvest brings shame. Harvest is not a time when you sleep. Having grown up on a farm, I know that harvest time is a time when you don't get much sleep. There are times when you go through the night to bring in the harvest. So do we know the season that we're in? Do we know what God has for us at this time? Because I believe God wants us to wake up to the time that we're in and live according to the time that we're in. That's number one. Number two, he knew what was to define his ministry. It says in John that he came full of grace and truth. That doesn't mean that there's not a day of vengeance. You've got doctrine out there now that there is no hell, there is no judgment. There is a day of vengeance. And God wants us aware of that. But we live in this amazing season of grace. Yet the day will come when God will judge every one of us according to our works. Now, we're not saved by our works, which is really good news. We're saved by faith. Even the thief on the cross in his dying moments was able to turn to Jesus. And for all eternity, he will be so thankful that in his last moments on earth, he looked to Jesus and said, "Remember me." And Jesus said, "You're in. You're coming with me today. You'll be in paradise." He didn't even have time for any good works. But God wants to reward us for our good works. So yes, there is a day of judgment. And all of us want that. See, we're made in the image of God. Whether it's the cry of the little kid that says, "That's not fear." Who's heard that? Little kids, they're just so little. And they have this inbuilt sense of justice. You think about the movies that you love, the TV programs that you want to watch, you'll probably find that at the core of them is justice. Why? Because our hearts long for justice. And if you've been wronged, you want justice. And that's fine. We are made to want justice. And we see that in the causes that we give ourselves to, whether it's dismantling the sex slave trade, whether it's making sure that people get good pay for a good job done. Whatever it is, the passion that you have in your heart, it's probably linked in some way to justice. It's part of who you are. But when we let justice become judgment, it becomes a weight that we cannot handle. See, folks, judgment is a weight. And it is a weight that crushes all those who try to carry it. Whether it's judgment against somebody else or judgment against yourself. See, the Bible says it's the day of vengeance of our God. Only God can carry the weight of judgment. We can't. If you try to carry that weight, it will crush you. It will crush you physically. So many of the diseases that we have to deal with in our society today have to do with the stress that people are carrying. And a lot of it comes back to a root of judgment. A lot of the mental disorders, the depression, A lot of them are connected to this whole aspect of judgment and a lack of forgiveness. Celia, you had a great word this morning about forgiving and forgiven. Why does God want us to forgive? Because he wants to cut us free from that weight. He wants to lift it from our life so that we can come out and we can be free. It's not about whether what that person did was right or wrong. It's about setting us free. God doesn't want you under that weight. It will affect you spiritually. It will affect you spiritually, physically, emotionally. Oh, bitter roots of judgment that cripple people's lives. God doesn't want you to have that. He wants you free. Luke 6:36. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Set your heart free, folks. Come out of judgment. Don't live under that weight. Have you ever heard people say, oh, I could write a book? What they usually mean is, so much happened, and the details, and there was this, and there was that, and then that person did this, and that person said that, and it's just this huge thing. But I think sometimes that also reveals the fact that we've got chapters in our book that we go back to and we read again and again and again. How many of you in your don't need to put your hand up. I'll just see that very slight nod. How many of you have relived something that somebody said to you and you come up with the words you so wish you had said in that moment? Oh, if I just said, oh boy, I would have cut them down to size, or I would have sorted that out. And you go over and over and over, and in your book, those chapters have been read and reread and rewritten. Or maybe it's that chapter of failure, when this happened or that happened. And not only do you go back to that chapter, but you've covered it with tears. Because it's a chapter that carries so much heartache and pain. Well, I believe God wants you to know what Jesus did, because I believe he wants you to do it this morning. So we're going to be back to Luke chapter 4. So we haven't read what Jesus read out. Then we're going to pick up verse 20. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. They knew something powerful had just happened. This was even before Jesus said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled. But everyone was looking at him because they knew that what he said was a revelation. And I believe that the revelation that Jesus released is a revelation that's coming to the body of Christ, that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to do this and to do that and to bring liberty, to set captives free, to see people healed, to see bondages broken. Folks, I believe that there's coming a time when the world will look to the body of Christ again. But I believe there's something we need to do so that we can get to that place. And I believe the first thing we need to do is close the book. There's people here, and I know God's wanting to say to you this morning, it's time to close the book. Stop living in that chapter. Stop going over and over what was said or what was done or the pain of what you went through. Close the book. When we have closed the book, then we can give it. And I believe the Holy Spirit is saying, I want to take the book. See, God can't write in our book when we are holding on to it. And he wants to rewrite chapters. He's got glorious chapters that he wants to write that you haven't entered into yet. But the Lord has promised that what the devil meant for evil, he will use for good. He has promised us that there is payback for our shame. He has promised us that there is beauty for ashes. See, Jesus went on to declare, to comfort all who mourn. Yeah, things hurt, and it's okay to mourn. But let God comfort you, because he doesn't want you to stay there, because on the other side of your mourning is breakthrough. To comfort all who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Up the front here this morning, we have three prophetic pictures from somebody who did not know what I was preaching on. Darwin's prophetic pictures, beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's what God wants you to have. But I believe for us to have it, we have to close the book. Are you ready to close the book this morning? To give it back and to sit down. To sit down says, God, I'm not going to try and do it. I'm going to let you do it. It's in your hand now, Lord. I can't do it, but God, you can. To sit down is to say, God, I'm stepping into peace. And I think somebody this morning had a word about peace. God wants us to come to that place where we sit down and let him be our God. Because when he is our God, we have a glorious ending to our story. Because the day will come when, like Paul, we will be able to say, these light afflictions have brought about an eternal weight of glory. That's our portion. So I'm going to close the meeting this morning because I believe God wants some people to simply close the book, hand it back, and let him write in it.